Welcome to the WeatherPod, a podcast about the growing importance of weather information to business and society. I'm Alan Thorpe. I'm a former Director General of the European Centre for Medium Range Weather Forecasts, a former head of the UK Met Office's Hadley Centre, and a professor of meteorology.
And I'm David Rogers. I'm a former chief executive of the UK Met Office and am now a consultant with the World Bank, helping countries improve their weather-related disaster management systems and services.
Weather information is a critical international resource for saving lives, making business and society more efficient, and building resilience to extreme weather and climate change.
In each episode, we invite a leading expert to discuss how public, private, and academic sectors work together to produce weather information and make it available to business and society.
We also investigate how weather-affected public and private enterprises actually use it and the new business opportunities being created.
And because extreme weather often impacts the poorest the hardest, we'll look beyond the rich countries to the less developed ones, which host most of the world's population. Today, it's our pleasure to welcome A.R. Sabaya, Director of RIMES, the Regional Integrated Multi-Hazard Early Warning System for Africa and Asia, to the WeatherPod. Sabaya has had a long and distinguished career in the Indian government. There he implemented development and disaster risk reduction programs before moving to the Asian Disaster Preparedness Centre. There he began building a regional project to strengthen institutional capacities to create end-to-end early warning systems. Following the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami, this transformed into RIMES, with Sabaya as the founding director with the mission to develop a multi-hazard framework for the generation and communication of early warning information for all member countries. Sabaya, a very warm welcome to the WeatherPod.
Yes, welcome, Sabaya.
Thank you very much, David Arlan. It's great to be with you today.
Sabaya, perhaps you could start by telling us something of the history and evolution of RIMES from its beginning as a tsunami early warning system to the multi-hazard mission it pursues today.
Yes, David. Initially, when the tsunami happened in 2004, the 2005 process is a political commitment only to establish tsunami early warning system. So resources available only for tsunami only one tsunami hazard early warning system. With great difficulty, we could convince few development partners like Denmark to appreciate the need to sustain tsunami, which is very infrequent hazard. To sustain tsunami, we need to incorporate weather, climate, hydrology services so that the sustaining tsunami will be possible only when we integrate these multi-hazard process, because something will happen or other, the institution will be alive and active that will in turn sustain tsunami. So that convinced a few development donors to integrate weather, climate, hydrology into the tsunami early warning system. So the multi-hazard early warning system came. Then the demand came from countries that it's not just the hazard forecast alone will do. We need to integrate these hazards into user applications so that users are able to make use of the scientifically based forecast advisories into actionable early warning systems. So the integration came because users demand to provide value-added data for the forecast advisories and services. So that's why integrated come. You can see RIMES is a regional integrated multi-hazard early warning system. So there are three phases in 10 years, David. Phase one, from 2009 to 2012, it was basically focusing on providing regional early warning services for tsunami, weather, climate services. Then from, that is a phase one, providing early warning services. Phase two, from 2012 to 2015, is a very critical time. The user demanded more and more value-added products. So there is an impact forecasting demand came to transform forecast into impact-based forecast. So there is a gradual evolution of RIMES services from hazard forecast to impact-based forecast. Then came that it is not good enough. So much information is coming from weather and climate services. It is we can use the same infrastructure of early warning and it liberates that capacity to generate usable information for at least critical climate sensitive sectors for water resource management, agriculture, public health, etc. So we try to respond to that services, a kind of tailor-made services to these sectors. So when the sectors came, then there was a demand for more and more services, and NHMS informed the countries, unless you make investments in the critical infrastructure of NHMS, of modernizing forecast service and all, it's very difficult to meet both existing demands of the users and emerging demands. So that process, a kind of a process that we need to provide a kind of decision support system to provide services to all these sectors, adopting a goal government approach, not just the climate sensitive sectors, so that you can convince the planning and finance ministries to invest, to mobilize resources for providing value added services and NHMS capacity building. So to the phase three is a very important one. This process, I am going to address this issue when you are going to ask about the World Bank projects. This is how the World Bank MOU came, and that gave us a confidence to provide a kind of integrated services through national DSS and also RIMES regional MD system. So you can see evolution from a hazard focus early warning to impact forecasting to impact forecasting tailor-made services to a kind of integrated services to covering all the departments. So that is why RIMES in 10 years in three phases, it is able to meet the demands, and there are existing demands will come in future, and the RIMES will see that how it can be also addressed. That we'll discuss when in the next questions. Thank you so much.
So thank you, Subbaiah. That's very interesting. I wanted just to ask you a little bit about the governance of RIMES. I mean, you've mentioned that RIMES is governed by the heads of the National Meteorological and Hydrological Services and the other technical agencies involved in generating early warning information. So I'm curious to know how easy is it to make and to implement policy decisions when you have this multinational, multi-agency governance of RIMES?
It's a very pertinent question, Alan. We went through a very interesting process of easy policy making and implementing process within RIMES. Each country, we had an assessment of critical needs from the end-to-end early warning perspective. That is, if any gap is there in the end-to-end early warning perspective, the early warning system will not work. So you need to address the gaps from an application perspective. When the application perspective demand came from an application perspective, then NHMS is able to appreciate that it's not just good enough to provide a forecast, even though forecast can be given, but it has to be in a form that should be addressing the critical gaps so user can understand and use it. This is a common gap all the countries, including low capacity countries, middle level capacity countries, high level companies. It's a common gap because this is the interface process is a gap. To address the gap, we need a flexible policy process so that this common elements can be, regional elements can be articulated and addressed. So since the process came from a user perspective and user need driven forecast services, and this is a common critical gap in all the meteorological services, so they appreciated it and they given a institutional design to RIMES to be flexible enough to assess the gaps, address those gaps so flexibly. So the policy making was easier because one critical component that addressing the gaps from a user perspective.
That's a great perspective. Just as a follow-up, I mean, you make it sound easy, but I'm sure it was very difficult at times when you have multiple countries with multiple needs and desires to bring all those together to agree to cooperate. So I guess you must spend quite a bit of time talking with your member states, your member organizations, to really bring them to a common theme. Is that how it works?
Yes. There are two dimensions in that. One is engaging countries on a bilaterally by RIMES and individual countries convince them about the critical gaps and the need to address the critical gaps. So there is an individual level engagement. Second is, each country, we have established an institutional mechanism to have a regular interaction between NHMS and the user departments, so that user departments articulate the gaps and NHMS appreciate that. So because of the ground level work already done in understanding the gaps from the user perspective, we found that almost all the countries have common elements of this gap. So there is a shared vision of addressing gap, number one. Number two, in the RIMES institutional design, there are most of the countries are low capacity countries. You know, about 90% of them are low capacity countries. So those countries have overwhelmingly support any policy, and other countries also appreciate the demands of the low capacity countries, and there is a consensus. Third aspect also, I will tell you, this third aspect is that we have a common but differentiated services. Common means we have a generally common services for all the countries, but countries can choose the services they need from RIMES differentially. So there is no other consideration comes. All the countries can have something or other from RIMES, because we have a common but differentiated services to different countries. So these three elements make it easier for us to make a policy decision and implement it. Thank you.
So, Sabaya, I'd like to turn to discuss the relationship you have with other international organizations. So as you've mentioned, you're an intergovernmental body, and you sit among a number of other international organizations, such as the World Meteorological Organization. How have these relationships developed, and are there ways to improve cooperation with them?
Yes, that is a very interesting one also. What we have done is we have an in-depth engagement with the country level NHMS. So NHMS convinces WMO, NHMS convinces other partners that they need RIMES services because it addresses the critical gaps and also provide institutional support, just not the project-based, institutional support. Even when the project is over, there will be a backup support from RIMES to continue to do that one. So because of NHMS advocacy, in the initial period, all the institutions really appreciated the RIMES role, and they came together. Because of this demand, this articulation of process by NHMS themselves and also other user departments. Thank you.
Can I just follow up a little on that? Because I think this is a very important point when you talk about sort of having a process approach rather than a project approach, so that countries aren't left sort of simply doing something for a short period of time. How do you manage to resource these things? I mean, what enables this to be sort of a stable approach to the problem?
Yes, this is a very interesting one. In the RIMES first and second ministers conference, this process was articulated that most of the initiatives are taken on a project basis. It is not being sustained beyond the project. It requires a lot of time for the particularly low capacity, medium level capacity countries to sustain this new technology, new practices. Hence, there is a need for a corpus fund with RIMES to ensure that all the projects which are ending when the development partners end the projects, RIMES should ensure continuity of those process and provide institutional support to the countries so that the gains are not lost. The gains actually is continued. For example, climate forecast application project funded by USAID in Bangladesh in 2007-8. The project ended in 2012. And the program, there was a need for the flood forecast warning center in Bangladesh to continue the forecast, but they needed RIMES technical support. So we provided technical support FFWC, Flood Forecast Warning Center Bangladesh, to continue to provide that 10-day improved forecast. Plus also, we improved from 10 days to 15 days, the refinement. So both sustaining their services, but also retaining the services because of the corpus fund we have within a RIME system through contribution by countries, that we are able to bring a new philosophy of sustaining any important interventions after the project period is over. That is a reason why. Thank you.
Sabaya, one of the highlights for me when I was Director General of ECMWF, European Weather Centre, was the occasion when you and I signed the first agreement between RIMES and ECMWF and of cooperation between the two multinational organisations. I wonder how has that evolved, that relationship, over the time since we first signed it?
I am still nostalgic and about that moment when you really encouraged us to sign the cooperation, this license agreement with ECMWF. That was the turning point for RIMES, a landmark moment. I can say a hinge moment in RIMES history. Because of that license agreement approved by you, the RIMES was able to provide value-added services, impact forecasting services, and also a decision support system, and also the derived products for flood forecasting, etc., for several countries. And that really brought huge technical credibility of RIMES that earned the trust of the countries. So that is a really landmark agreement. Now, over the period of time, the engagement is totally as intensified and deepened. That we provide verification reports of extreme events whenever something happens to ECMWF so that they can see how the forecast model worked or not. And also, we have a process now that more and more countries need ECMWF forecast data with a higher resolution. So the demand came. So now we had engagement with the ECMWF. ECMWF mentioned that if you are able to provide locally relevant data, in addition to GTS, the additional data, both historical and the real-time data, we'll be able to provide higher resolution forecast. Then we had a discussion with countries. Countries agreed to this unique regional data sharing arrangement in which countries will share the data to RIMES, RIMES quality check, and give it to ECMWF. ECMWF will provide high resolution forecast. This is a kind of win-win situation now. And now there is a resolution in the 12th RIMES Council last year that almost all the countries have appreciated this effort, and they are going to share the data real-time historical to ECMWF, and ECMWF is also agreed to provide a high resolution forecast. This is how the relationship evolved, both in terms of in broadening and deepening the services because of ECMWF. That is because of the foundation laid by you, Alendra. Thank you very much. Even though I don't meet you regularly, but every day I appreciate that work. Thank you so much.
That's very kind, Sabaya. I mean, you raise a very important point that's come up in the Weather Pod on several occasions, and that is that for global forecasting centres, for them to have access to local data that can be used for verification really helps to improve the models. And I think the relationship with RIMES has really demonstrated how critically important that feedback and interaction process is. So it really, as you articulate it very nicely, it cements the relationship very strongly as a two-way partnership that actually both sides benefit from significantly. Thank you.
You're listening to WeatherPod with Alan Thorpe and David Rogers.
This leads into the whole notion of open data policies. I mean, as you've just articulated, I mean, data sharing is critical between global centres and countries, and both benefit. And how do you see open data policies developing among RIMES member countries? And what role does RIMES play in promoting open data?
This is a very important issue, David. Open data in principle is a very good concept, a kind of win-win situation for all the stakeholders who are sharing the data openly. because as there is an economic value of sharing the data, when the economic prosperity increases, the wealth can be really shared among the participants. But there is, in principle, it is a kind of very, very important one, because only 10% of the services information approximately is being applied. 90% of the information is not, potential information is not applied for the, in the sectors where they can make a difference. This is because of the data sharing. One of the major barriers is data sharing constraint. So in order to realize the full potential of climate services, it is better to have open data services, because historically there is a cultural barrier for the countries to share the data. We need to go through a transition process. The transition process is already established, like I mentioned earlier, that sharing the data with the ECMWF, and the ECMWF will provide a high yield revenue forecast. This transition process will demonstrate the benefit of sharing data on a wider scale, and also appreciating the limitation of the public sector in providing the really the user need, user tailor-made services to various commercial interests, commercial enterprises. So there comes a kind of a domain appreciation where a public service, public NHMS cannot serve, there the public sector can take it, so that there could be a appreciation for sharing the data openly and get the benefit. And that is where RIMES is evolving, a kind of demonstration process by which you demonstrate the sharing of data, how value, what are the value, economic value, social value it brings in, and how the broadening that sharing data will help to broaden the full utilization of potential value of climate services, so that the private sector can also provide some resources through a public-private sector partnership to the NHMS for augmenting weather systems, weather data systems, and other weather data processing, etc. So that there will be a synchronized and also very symbiotic relationship could be established in future. I'm expecting this is going to come in the future. So open data is going to be the one process by which we go through the transition at the, and reach that level of complete openness when there is a clear understanding of the public sector and private sector domains, and each other appreciate in a mutual, for the mutual benefit. That will happen in the future. Thank you.
We know, of course, that numerical weather prediction and weather services are always evolving, and we see in the new strategies of some of the major centres like the Met Office and ECMWF, that there are big developments on the way. And in particular, I'm thinking about, higher resolution ensemble prediction, and also cloud computing and cloud data storage and access. I wonder, how do you see all that impacting RIMES and its members?
It will have a very, very positive impact, in the sense that, the high resolution forecast will drive a process so that the NHMS will be in a position to make use of that high resolution forecast data and make it transform it into a value added services and deliver to the public. So that process will come when really the ECMWF or any other global centers forecasts are better than what is currently available with NHMS, in spite of everybody running their own NWP and other systems and all. So the technology really convinces about the cost effectiveness and also the value of technology for making differences in the user systems. Ultimately, it is the users who will decide what best they want. Otherwise, it will not. Nobody can hold that kind of a thing. So RIMES is in a position to appreciate this kind of emerging process and ensure that it will bring a kind of a process by which this the whole thing can be integrated in a very synchronized form, and the technology can be easily integrated into the services and in turn services into point level tailor-made forecasts by the countries. Because at the country level, this NHMS role is still important, because they have to provide a very tailor-made forecast for the urban early warning system, for a simple location or a small basin in the river basin, or in a very pointed demand for meeting the emerging aspirations of the people, because the people no longer tolerate just saving lives only. They also want to have a economic savings. There is an aspirational demand from the users. So when there is information available, why not make use of it for both saving lives, livelihoods, and also economic gains? So that is going to come.
So just to pick up on that, just for clarification, Sabaya, it's up to the individual countries, is it, to perform a sort of integration task? Because obviously there's access to different models from different global centres that need to be brought together as a grand ensemble, if you like, and used by individual countries. Is it the responsibility of your individual member states to do that process?
No, that actually there is some preliminary discussion on that. You know, this is the South Asia Hydromet Forum process. In the South Asia Hydromet Forum process, there will be a kind of a synchronized delivery of these services to the countries, so that there is a cost saving, and also there is an appreciation of the individual country needs from a regional perspective. This is a common regional issue, so that a regional institution like RIMES could play a role in as a conduit to take this process forward, so that individual countries need not worry about several forecasts from different locations and all. We already established a knowledge hub within RIMES under the area being established, a knowledge hub, a regional hub within RIMES to do this particular work, to ensure that countries get what actually they need, instead of going to all over the process to get individual forecasts done and all. This has been already done through our climate change projections. There is a demand by countries to provide, because so much of a 21-25 IPCC models are available, but countries are not in a position to download and change it, and also the frequent change of models. So the countries are not cope with the changes also. So the countries asked RIMES to provide a centralized kind of coordinated effort to see that which are the best models is suited for a particular country, and that model can be used for that particular country's context and deliver those services. So this this work is already being done from a climate change downscaling perspective in RIMES. So from weather scale also, this will be appreciated, because already we have an experience on that. Thank you so much.
So, Sabaya, this leads directly onto the work that you've done in the RIMES, amongst the RIMES countries. You've demonstrated that there's clearly an operational role for a regional organization, and it seems to have been very well appreciated by your members. But elsewhere, outside of your domain of interest, this approach doesn't seem to have been very successful. We have examples from other parts of the world where the attempt to kind of have a regional operational entity hasn't worked very well. Do you think your approach can work in other regions, and how should we go about enabling it?
We want to be very humble, David, because this is a process we underwent from a perspective of application perspective, actually. The whole design of RIMES based on application perspective. And it has got three principles by which we are able to convince countries to really collaborate successfully. Number one is the entire value chain information services given from data observation, data sharing observation, forecast data analytics, providing services, and also turning to impact forecast into community level outreach, and also user need based forecast systems. So entire value chain is provided as a one common seamlessly. So if you provide only one part of one particular component, that will not work because the countries need this whole chain process, number one. Number two, as I mentioned earlier, this is all very innovative institutional process, and also we use a lot of latest data analytics in the IT process, you know, like artificial intelligence, Internet of Things and all. So these technologies cannot be really sustained by countries. They need institutional support, as I mentioned earlier, to integrate and sustain, and also hand-holding approach to the countries so that it is operationally routinized with the country system. So that is number two. Number three is the emerging technologies, because when technology changes, again, all this become obsolete. So how do we really keep in touch with the emerging technology, both forecast technologies, data analytics technologies, and also the modern practices, communication, risk communication, all these practices are really dynamic. And also the risk also dynamic with exposure, vulnerability, also changes all the time. Unless you are really in keeping touch with these changes, if you do a kind of one process that at the time it will be over. But the risk will be really different in 5 years from now in a particular situation because of various factors. So we need to provide services. So these three elements, like value chain, entire value chain as a one holistic chain. Number two, institutional support to sustain, refine, and manage this kind of system. Third is keeping touch with the emerging technologies and partnerships to ensure that the latest technology and practices are incorporated dynamically into the system. So if these three elements are incorporated, it can be really, it is possible to have this kind of a mechanism. And now because of RIME's services, the countries in the remote regions like Pacific, Africa, and Central Asia, et cetera, are now requesting to have a decentralized services by RIME's by building a mirror capacity of RIME's in one country there and provide a cluster of countries around that region. For example, in Pacific, in PNG, we are building capacity of National Weather Service PNG of multi-hazard early warning center. And that center will not only provide for PNG system, but also the Pacific regions on a voluntary basis. Whichever country they want, they can take services from them because it's very cost effective, because we only make only one investment and backup support is already available from RIME's. And also Madagascar in the Africa region, they are also going to have a small suburb of RIME's, and also in Sri Lanka also, we are developing one. These are the kind of suburbs will have a mirror capacity of RIME's with a backup support from RIME's so that we can really outreach the services to these countries as far as possible. This is the institutional approach. The first one is the technological approach I mentioned to you. These are the two aspects where could be of value maybe to the other regions. Thank you.
Subbaiah, we've briefly touched on the activities that RIME's is currently leading with support from the World Bank and other donors. But I wonder if you could elaborate a little bit on how you see these sort of major programs with the likes of the World Bank go and what you expect to be achieved by those kinds of programs.
Yeah, these are the two projects came in the right time, Alan, really, because as I mentioned earlier, in the RIME's evolution, we were in phase three, meaning providing integrated services to the countries of transforming weather, climate, or hazard data into information by integrating vulnerability exposure data, etc. So that is where we were in at the time. These two projects came very timely in 2020. And that is the South Asia Hyderabad Forum process World Bank. That will bring a kind of, adopting a regional approach to provide capacity building services, both training and technology to the countries through the knowledge hub process. So that will really demonstrate the value of regional cooperation in integrating emerging technologies and services to the countries. That is number one. Number two, what the output of SHF will be input to the CARE project, that is another World Bank project, Climate Resilience Adaptation Project. This project takes a kind of whole government approach where all the departments in the government whether it is infrastructure or a planning or a finance or agriculture or water resources, each department, each division will have a national sub-DSS, sectoral DSS. And these data will be integrated in the sectoral DSS. That will be linked to national DSS with the NHMS. And the national DSS will link to, there is a system called RDAS, Regional Data Analytics in RIMES. So that will provide backup support and also direct support wherever there is required for impact forecasting and integrated services through the RDAS system. So RDAS is one mechanism which connects global and regional data process mechanisms, data sources, and also country level data sources, as I mentioned to you, national DSS and sectoral DSS into one common regional platform. That platform will really enrich this collaboration and brings a new way of engaging countries with value-added services. So these two projects came very, very right time, and the RIMES Council appreciated this process, and this is going to be replicated in other regions, because in the 12th RIMES Council meeting in November 2020, that countries from Africa region, Pacific region, and also other regions demanded that so much thing happening in South Asia, WMO need to be involved, should leverage this effort to outreach this kind of South Asia experience to Africa and Pacific and other remote regions. So the ministers conference is being planned to demonstrate this SHF and well care project, and see that how it can be integrated into other regions in Africa through the ministers conference, because a political demand came for that to happen. So Secretary General WMO agreed to have a co-sponsoring the ministers conference. So WMO will be fully on board, UNSCOP will be fully on board, and we already have an ongoing World Bank project for demonstration. These three institutions together, ECMWM data sharing process that is successful in the South Asia and also other countries, and also the SHF project of providing regional approach for modeling and also training capacity building, etc. And this CARE project for transforming data into evidence-based information for development, the whole development, policy making, everything. So these three, and the UNSCOP providing a numberless support for the planning and finance system, the whole ministries. So this is going to have another landmark. As I mentioned to you, signing ECMWF was a landmark when you were there. Now this is another landmark to change the RIMES services qualitatively to the countries. So that is an issue. Thank you so much on this.
So, Sabaya, one of the key themes of the Weather Pod is the relationship between the public, private and academic sectors in the weather enterprise. How do you see the enterprise evolving within RIMES member countries? Are some of them more receptive than others, for example, to engagement with the private sector? And does RIMES have a role to play in fostering this enterprise?
Yes, that is because when we have there is a link between open data sharing and this particular issue, for example, there is a conflicting relationship in the initially between private sector, whether enterprise and also NHMS. NHMS have got some kind of insecurity in really associating this NHMS, because there is no clear defined role between NHMS and the private sector. So in the RIMES will have a very important role to differentiate to the role between private sector, private weather enterprise, and the public weather service, to see that how this process is very valuable. So in the transition time, now as I mentioned to you earlier, we are going to demonstrate the process of what are the how are the weather enterprise process can really add value to be taking data from this particular system, and in the way of convincing that if there is a X number of profit is earned out of that, then that could be, we can also convince private sector to plow it back a portion of it for investment in data collection, generation, and all, because a lot of data in this region is a lot, data sparse region. You know, we need to have a lot of investment. Unless you have investment in this data sparse region with latest technologies and all, UAVs and all the kind of cloud computing, this process and all, the project also will not get to kind of with kind of the services which they can get. So this transition time, RIMES is going to navigate this process and see that how we will be, how it will happen. So it is very interesting transition, and we hope the best will come out of it.
Subbaiah, we've covered a wide range of topics, and it's evident that RIMES is going from strength to strength, which is great. It only remains to thank you, Subbaiah, for a very engaging conversation.
Yeah, thanks very much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you very much for such insightful questions and the very logically organizing. I enjoyed this interview very much, David and Alan. Thank you so much.
Well, that concludes this episode of The Weather Pod. We hope you've enjoyed it. Alan and I will be back next month, and in the meantime, please give us your feedback via email to support@gweforum.org.